Today's Shir Misach the Krisis Davov, and we begin on Daf Hey on the base, four lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Amar Rav Ami Hayman the boy Leida Imosh Reshat Eloi. The person wants to know if he will survive the year. Maisi Shrag Behalein Asurin Yomin the Reshat Yom to Kippurim. He should bring a lamp during the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, v'nitla bebeis v'loy nashra ziga, and you should put it up in a house where there is no wind. Im mashkin narayu, if two pshatim I saw, one pshat is that if the all of the oil burns out, there's no leftover oil. Or another pshat is that if the candle burns nicely, it doesn't flicker. Neither the master shate, he will know that he will survive. Obviously, the reason this is done during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, because during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva is the time when the Kadosh Baruch Hu judges us what will be during the year. So that's why that's the time to see what will indeed be the result of that judgment. The Mashah and many other Mepharshim asked the question. We know that the Torah says, Loisanachshu, that a Jew is not allowed to act with superstition. So the question obviously is, how is this permitted to bring a candle? We're going to speak about different such tests that the Gemara mentions. How is that mutter if the halacha is Loisanachshu? So the Mashah's approach is that we have to pay attention to the wording of the Gemara. And he says that the Gemara doesn't say that if the candle burns well, he will survive, and if the candle, chas v'shalom, doesn't burn well, he will not survive. The Gemara only focuses on the good. So says the Mashah that it's considered nichush only if you do both sides of the equation. Meaning you say, if it'll burn well, then I'll succeed. And if not, not. Since he only says one side of the equation, that if it burns well, I will succeed, that is not considered a nichush. And he explains. Because what the person actually is saying is that he's recognizing and acknowledging that everything that happens to us is from Hashem. And from Hashem, only good comes. If bad comes to a person, it's only because the person hasn't acted as he was supposed to act, and he brought upon himself the bad. And that's why, says the Mashah, saying only the good side of the possibility is not considered nichush. Continues the Gemara. Uman debari never escape. If somebody wants to do a business, a boy, the neda, imatzlich eskeloi, and again, he wants to know, will he succeed in his business venture or not? Nearby Tanagoyla, he should raise a rooster. Isham the shaper. If the rooster gets fat and fine, neither the matzlach. He'll know that he will be successful. So Mepharshim say that the reason the Gemara says specifically to use a rooster is because a rooster is called a gever, just like a man is called a gever. And furthermore, a rooster is a very active bird, and to be successful, one has to be active. And that's why using the rooster is a good simon. However, there are other mepharshim that suggest that it doesn't specifically have to be a rooster. And if a person is going into a business venture with other types of animal, he should designate one of that type of animal, and by designating it and seeing how it grows, he'll know if his business will succeed. Continues the Gemara. I man the boy Nefik Burkha, somebody wants to go on the road. Uboy the neither Hedo Basai, and he wants to know if he's going to come home healthy. Nail Nakam Vase Tavasa, he should go into a dark house. In Chazi the Buad of Abua. If he sees a double shadow, neither Dosla Basai, that will be a proof that he will come home safely. And again, as the Mepharshim explain, what is the double shadow represents? So some Farshim I saw explain that people have a double shadow. On the other hand, Shadim do not have a double shadow, and therefore this is the way to tell through the shadow if he's going to survive as a person. Another pshat that I saw, as we know, the pasuk says, Ki malachov yitzavaloch v'shmarach b'chol d'ruchecha, Hashem tzuch al yad menecha. So if a person sees a double shadow, that represents that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has designated for him malachim to protect him on his travel. If chas v'sholem he doesn't see that double shadow, it represents that he does not have that type of shmira chas v'sholem. Says Gemara v'lam nosehi, but this is not proper to do. D'machol shadate, because maybe if the test won't come out well, he will be upset, or masri mazli, and his mazel will be bad. So as the Mefarshim point out, I saw this far from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He quotes the Tzemach Tzadik, who used to say, Trach gut v'zayin gut. If you think positively, then things will turn out positively. If a person sees that these different experiments don't turn out well, so he's going to start thinking negatively, and Chas v'Shalom, if he thinks negatively, then indeed he will not necessarily succeed. There is a machlokes amongst the Mefarshim, when the Gemara says, V'lam nosehi, that one shouldn't act this way. Is the Gemara only referring to this third test that was mentioned, about the double shadow, or does it refer to all the different issues that we discussed in our share? Amar Abaya, Hashta Amrit Simonim Milsehi. Now that we've established, based on what we've learned in our share, that you can follow at times Simonim, Yeragel Inish Lamechel Reishata. That's interesting, I saw two absent pshatim in this Gemara. On one hand, the Bnei Yisoscha says, the fact that the Gemara says the words Reishata instead of Rosh Hashanah, we're about to learn the Gemara that teaches us the minig, the custom to eat on Rosh Hashanah different foods that have a positive meaning. So the Bnei Yisoscha says, since the Gemara says the word Reishata at Rosh Hashanah, it should only be done on the first night, not on the second night. But other Mefarshim I saw suggest the opposite. They say the fact that the Gemara says the word Ragel means to do it both nights. So the Gemara is saying that a person should eat on Rosh Hashanah, Kar of Arubia, cucumbers, fenugreek, karti, leek, silka, abits, the tamri, and dates. Eating all of these foods represent they have positive connotations, they grow quickly, and that's why on Rosh Hashanah one should eat them. And again, as I said earlier, even though normally we know there's a din of lois nachshu, we're not allowed to do a nichush, but we follow the Mashah's approach, that the Mashah says that here we're only focused on the positive, not on the negative, therefore it's not considered a nichush. Other Mefarshim I saw say, since the Gemara says that one should eat these foods, so it's no longer in the category of a nichush. On the contrary, one is following the minhag chazal, and if you follow minhag chazal, on the contrary, you will have a very positive outcome. Another pshat that I saw is that eating these foods don't actually only represent a nichush, but actually they represent a tefillah. A person by eating these foods is showing that he's being mispalot HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Hashem should help, that he should have success in these various issues this year. And actually, if that's pshat, in eating these different foods, there's a very famous issue, halachic issue. We know that when we eat the various foods, we say hirotzen on every food appropriate to hirotzen. And the question is, when should the Yiratzen be said? To say the Yiratzen before the bracha seems to be improper, because a bracha certainly has more of an importance than just a Yiratzen. On the other hand, to say the Hirotzen after the bracha was recited, that would represent a hefsik between the bracha and the Hirotzen. And therefore there are many minhagim. Some say the Hirotzen, they make the bracha, they take a bite, and after they take a bite, only then do they say the Hirotzen. But I saw a very nice pshat. I saw a pshat that since the entire eating of this food is only because of a tefillah, that we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a positive year, for a great year, therefore the tefillah is part of the eating, and suddenly we could say the Hirotzen before we eat. It's interesting that the Mefarshim say that it's not specifically only these foods that should be eaten, but rather any food that in the language that's used represents a positive outcome. That's why in many communities, for example, the minig was to eat sweet carrots, because carrots in Yiddish are myrin. Myrin means multiply, many, and it represents that we should multiply this year. So all types, we should eat all different types of food that have a very positive connotation. And on the contrary, not eat foods that have a negative. And that's why many people are careful not to eat sour foods on Rosh Hashanah, because they have the opposite connotation. So the Mefarshim, it's interesting, the Magen Avraham says that the minig, quotes the Avud Ram, is to eat fish on Rosh Hashanah, because, again, shenifra v'nirva kedogim, we should multiply just like the fish multiply. But the Magen Avraham himself quotes the Mashal, who says that he did not eat fish in Rosh Hashanah because he particularly enjoyed fish, and therefore eating fish in Rosh Hashanah is not a day to eat something that's so enjoyable. So I saw a very nice compromise. The compromise I saw is that he should eat fish. He should eat fish in Rosh Hashanah at night, because as we're learning in our Gemara, eating fish has this very positive connotation. On the other hand, not eat it by day, because by day we don't eat simon. I furthermore saw that the Mefarshim point out that one should eat these different foods that represent success, material success, because the lesson of our Gemara is that Rosh Hashanah is not only a time where we're judged if we will succeed, we will succeed only in our ruchnius. We're trying to show that in Rosh Hashanah we're judged if we're going to succeed in our gashmius. And by showing this, how do we show this? The way we show this is by eating these foods that represents material success. In fact, I saw a very beautiful vart. We're actually not learning Masechta Rosh Hashanah. So how come the Gemara here goes into all the minhagim of Rosh Hashanah? So I saw that the Mefarshim point out that we learned in the previous shir, we spoke about the Shemen HaMishka, with which kings were anointed. And what we're saying here is that in Rosh Hashanah, we know it's Kishitei Shetam L'chuni Aleichem. Rosh Hashanah is the day that we anoint Hashem to be the king over us. And how do we show that we're recognizing that everything comes from Hashem and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging us? By eating these foods and, so to speak, announcing that we are completely in the hands of Hashem. The Chassidish Islam actually go a step further. They say that we know that the Gemara says that a person should look at himself, they are tzaddikim gemurim, that are immediately sealed for a wonderful year, there are Rishon Gemurim that are sealed for the opposite, and then there are Beinonim that still need to work during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva to tip the scale in their favor. And therefore, by eating these various foods and making these announcements, that's actually exactly what we're saying. What we're announcing is that we need to work a little harder to tip the scale in our favor. Says the Gemara, Amalei Mishashel Abnei, Kibisulam Meg Mekamei, when you want to go learn by your Rebbe's, Gurusim Ikurim Asnisa, first learn First learn the Mishnayos on which the Shir will be said, and then go learn the Shir. And the reason the Mefarshim explained is because if one is prepared before he learns, then he will understand the Shir better. Another pshat is that actually when one learns by Rebbe a Shir, he is embarrassed. His Rebbe is doing all of the teaching and he's just listening. So, but if he prepares before the Rebbe says the Shir, and then he can ask a good question during the Shir, which will help the Rebbe grow, as indeed we know it says in Pirkei Avos, "Mitalmidai yoisa mikulam." So then it will not be such an embarrassing experience sitting by his Rebbe in the Shir. Furthermore, says the Rebbe, "Ki yisivu kamei Rebbechem," when you go to learn by your Rebbe, be careful to look at your Rebbe's face. You should be careful to see the Rebbe's face. Posh pshat, the Mefarshim explained, because when you look at somebody's face and you look at his facial expressions, they have a influence and they help you understand the Gemara. As the famous Gemara Rebbe said, that the fact that he was greater than his colleagues is because he saw Reb Meir Macharev. He saw Reb Meir from behind. Had he seen Rebbe from the front, nobody, he would even be greater. In fact, I saw the Mefarshim explain, that's Pshat, it says in the Pasuk, Ba'aloyscha es ha-neiros, yi'iru shivas ha-neiros amul pnei ha-menoiro, yi'iru shivas ha-neiros. The Torah is teaching us, Ba'aloyscha es ha-neiros, if you're trying to teach and influence Talmidim, mol pnei ha-menoira, they should see the menoira, and that's how Yiru Shevet HaNeiros, they will be successful. However, I did see a very interesting vart from the Michas Elazar. The Michas Elazar points out that sometimes we see that people say speeches, and say Divrei Torah, with their eyes closed. So he explains in manners what subjects they're addressing. If a person is speaking agadata divrei drush, then he could close his eyes. But when he's saying a shir, because we're trying to reach the person to come to high madrega in learning, in yiras shemayim. But when we're saying a shir in Gemara and trying to teach talmidim to understand the Gemara, then it should be done said with open eyes. Continues Gemara v'chid v'susu shmatzim, when you learn gros alamaya. Learn next to the water, the kehech demash chamaya, just like the water flows continuously, timshach shmatzchen, so too you should be successful when you're learning. It should constantly flow and without any stop. Another pshat that I saw is that who is successful in learning, successful in all of avodas Hashem, somebody who's modest. So just like water flows from on top to the bottom, so too, who will be successful in learning? Somebody who is modest, holds himself low. Similarly, water flows constantly. So too, who is successful in learning? Someone who's always learning with no stop. Furthermore, he said, "Akelka de masa machasya." It's better to live by the garbage heaps of masa machasya, v'loya pande de pumbedisa, not by the palaces of pumbedisa. Mefarshim explained, because the people of Pumbedisa weren't that honest, and therefore it's not good to live in a place of dishonest people. Another pshat is that Mas Mechasya, the people were Talmid Chachamim, versus the people of Pumbedisa who were not Talmid Chachamim. Another pshat that I saw is that Mas Mechasya, the people acted in a very refined manner, whereas the people in Pumbedisa did not act in such a refined manner, and it's better to live with people who act in a refined manner. Tav gildan sari lemeichel, it's better to eat gildan the fish that are almost spoiled, mikutcha de ramekipa, rather than kutach, which is a dip we find many times in Shas, that was made with moldy bread and dairy ingredients. And here too the Mefarshim debate why. Some say because kutach, although it was very delicious, it was not so healthy, and therefore the Gemara is suggesting one should avoid kutach. Another pshat is that kutach, even though it's very delicious, it's expensive, whereas these fish are not that expensive. A person shouldn't lose his money spending them on luxuries. We spoke in the previous shiur about the anointment of kings. So we know that Shmuel was the one that anointed both Shaul and David HaMelech. And Shaul and Shmuel was Chana's son. So says the Gemara, we find in the Tefillah of Chana, that Tishpal Chana v'toyma, Olatz libi v'ashem Roma Karni. Says the Gemara, Roma Karni. Chana made the announcement that the one that was anointed with a horn, with Roma Pachi. David and Shlomo shnimshchu b'keret. David and Shlomo, who were anointed by using a horn, nimshchu maskusan, their kingdom survived. Shaul v'Yehu shnimshchu b'napach, they were anointed from a flask, nimshchu machusan. The pashpshat is because a flask made out of china, earthenware, is easily broken, and therefore it represents something that won't have sustained, will not survive. On the other hand, a horn doesn't break so easily. Another pshat that I saw is that a earthenware comes from the ground. A horn comes from the head of the animal. So this represents something that came from the top of the animal, not from the earth that doesn't have its existence. First, I point out, what does the Gemara have to speak about Shloima? Wasn't Shloima just a continuation of David HaMelech's kingdom? First, we say, as we learned in our shir, in the previous shir, that Shlomo HaMelech, there were disputes about his kingdom, and therefore they had to show that they wanted his kingdom, not only that he would be king, but he would survive. That's why they used a keren. There's a question, what kind of material was used by a kohen, because we learned in the previous year that a kohen also requires mashicha. It seems that most mafarshim say that only by a melech, which is a point of Yerusha, as we discussed in our previous year, did they use a keren, not by a kohen gadol. Furthermore, the Masha points out, we say in davening, the yorem keren mashichai. We have a spell that not only Mashiach will come, but he should be anointed with a keren that will last forever. So we learned in the Mishnah, Hatmes HaKtairis. There's somebody makes Ktairis like it was made in the Beis HaMikdash, Yishchayv Karis. But says the Gemara, Tanam Rabbanan, Hatmes HaKtairis is somebody makes Ktairis Lumavah, just because he wants to learn how to make it, Oyla Masra L'Tzibur, or he makes it because he wants to give it over to the community. In such a case, potter, most mafarshim explain potter means potter umutter. And even though, as the mafarshim ask, we're going to learn later in our shiur, the halacha is that the ketores was supposed to be made in the kodesh, and how could a person make the ketores for his own use in the kodesh? So some explain that here he's making it in order that people should learn how to make it, and such ketores need not be made in the kodesh. Or another pshat is that even though he did an aveira by making this ketores in the kodesh, he still is not considered, still, if he did it with this purpose, it's not usur. Not only is it not usur, but it may be, in fact, use. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan Mefatim as ketores lumabo alamos l'tziva potter. But if he makes it in order to use it as a perfume to smell from it, chayiv. However, mariach ba, if somebody smells that tyrus that somebody made for his own private use, potter, he's potter. If somebody smells tyrus, that the tyrus, he's potter. Because even though he used it for his own purpose, that is not what the tyrus says, yichayiv. But he has violated Me'ilah. Ask the Gemara, Omiyaka Me'ilah Bereya, is somebody over Me'ilah by smelling? Varam Shimon Pazi, Arim Shimon Levi, Mishim Kapara, Kol, just the voice, Umala, Umara, and enjoying the appearance of Kodshim, the Reach and smell, Embam Shem Ilo, answered the Gemara, Reach, Acha Shetal Tamrosai, smell, after the smoke came out of the Ketiris, Embam Shem Ilo. There's no longer an issue of Mila. Of course, says the Gemara, there's a rule. There's never a situation where a mitzvah has been fulfilled or mi'alamba. It's a stubborn mila. Once the mitzvah is fulfilled, there no longer is mi'il. So the Achronim, the Sora of Ari Leib Malin, asked this question. Asked that the Gemara, how did the Gemara put Kol Mara Vireya into one category? Kol Mara never have mi'ila. Whereas Reach, as Al Gemara is explaining, does have Mi'ila, it only no longer has Mi'ila after the smoke has come up. How are they all in one category? So he says a very big chiddush, Rabbi Ari Leib, that even though the Gemara is saying that as long as the smoke hasn't come up, there is an Isser, the Gemara doesn't mean that there is Isser Mi'ila. The Gemara means there's an Isser to use it, but there is no Isser Mi'ila. There's never Mi'ila by Reach. Furthermore, the Mefarshim point out that even though by Kol Mara there never is Mi'ila according to Al Gemara, and by Reach there certainly is no Mi'ila after it was used, it's still usur to use it for your own private use. However, the Mefarshim do say that that's only in a situation where you deliberately try to use it for your own personal use. But let's say, without doing it purposely, you had hana, that wouldn't be considered mi'ila. Ask the Gemara, Alam Aloy, is this indeed true, that once the mitzvah has been done, there is never any more mi'ila? Very Trumas Hadeshin. What about the Trumas Hadeshin? We know every day, the Gemara will describe this more soon, the first avoid that was done was they took ash off the Mizbeach and deposited on the side of the Mizbeach, that the halacha is the Nasus Mitzvah. So this is something that the mitzvah has been done already, and yet there's Mi'ila. It's interesting, there's a Machloikus Rishonim, when the Gemara says here there's an Issa Mi'ila on this ash, doesn't mean that it's Mi'ila, that it's full-fledged Mi'ila, or does the Gemara only mean that there's an Issa to have Hanor from it? Answers the Gemara, this lesson that even though the mitzvah has already been done, it's still subject to Mi'ila. We have two cases in the Torah where so is the rule. One is by Trumas Hadeshin that we just mentioned, and the other is Big Dekuna, we'll speak about it in a moment. And we have a rule called Shnei Ksumah Boim Kechot Ein Melamdim. The way most Mefarshim explain the Gemara is as follows. Usually, if the Torah says a rule, that rule serves as a model as that being the halacha in all other cases as well. But if that were indeed the situation, then it would be enough for the Torah to say the rule once. Why does the Torah have to say it more than once? Whatever the Torah says a rule more than once, what the Torah is trying to say to us is that only in these cases where the rule is mentioned is that the halacha. Anywhere else, that is not the halacha. And therefore, since Mi'ila and Big Dekahuna are mentioned twice, only in these cases may you not have Hanor even after the mitzvah was done, nowhere else. So Big Day Kahuna, as we'll see now, means the following. The halach is that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur wore the four Big Day Kahuna. And the question is, after Yom Kippur, what should be done? And Al Gemara is saying that after Yom Kippur, they have to be buried and they may not be used, even though it's not mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Hanichul Rabban. This explanation is understandable according to the Rabbanim, who hold that they can't be used after Yom Kippur. El Rav Doisa, Michael Neymar, the Tanya, as the Brisa says, V'nicham Shom, regarding these Big Day Kahuna, Melamed Shetun and Genizo. And they have to be buried and may not use. Doisa Eimer, Shem Hanlu Kain Hedjet, the Kain Gadol may never wear them again, but a Kain Hedjet may. Mat Hamalon V'nicham Shom, and what if the possible V'nicham Shom teach us, that they may not be used by the Kohen Gadol on next year Yom Kippur. So we see that there are two psukim According to the Mandam that says, Shnei Ksum Laban Ke'echad, Melamdim, how will we understand this Gemara? Answers the Gemara. No, and especially according to the Mandam that says that they can be used, how will we understand this Gemara? Answers the Gemara, Mishun Dav, Tshumas Adesh of Egla Rufa, Shnei Ksum Laban Ke'echad. We have also the case of Egla Rufa, because Shnei Ksum Laban Ke'echad, Ein Melamdim. So even if we eliminate the case of Big Dekuna, we still have this case. So now the Gemara speaks the details of each one in the case. Truma Sedeshin Mahi. What is the case of Truma Sedeshin? As we explained, the Tanya, the Sama Eitzel Mizbeach, Malama Chetunim Geniza. The ash should be put by the Mizbeach and may not be used. Egla Rufa Mahi. What does it mean when we speak about Egla Rufa? The Tanya, we know that if a body was found and we don't know Loinoida Mihuko, we don't know who murdered that person, we have to go through the Egla Rufa procedure. And the Pasuk says, V'orf u'shom es ha'gola b'nachal l'amish tun g'niza. The Torah teaches us that the Egla Rufa has to be buried there and it may not ever be used. Ask the Gemara, so now we have two psukim indeed. Egla Rufa and Truma Sedeshin to teach us that even though a mitzvah was already done, the item may not be used. But and therefore, we can't learn from there to anywhere else. However, ask the Gemara, so why don't we learn from there that even after the mitzvah has been done, there's still an issa to use the item? He says, the Gemara, even he will agree. Hachavadi and melamdim, that after the mitzvah was done, you can't use it. Mishum, davetremiyuti. We have two specific psukim to tell us that only here is the halacha this way, nowhere else. The Truma Sedeshin Ksiv is Samoy. Only Truma Sedeshin should be not used again. Hadein In. Only here is that halacha applicable. Midachron Eloi, elsewhere not. Gabal Aruf Ksiv HaRufa. He In. Only Dialog HaRufa can't be used afterwards. Midachron Eloi. So now the Gemara goes into the details of the Torahs. Tanar Abonim Pitamak Torahs. Hatzori v'atziporim v'chalbona v'alvona. These are four types of spices. Mishkol Shim Shim Mona. We have, each one came with a weight of 70 mona. Mor Tzir Shpoel Snei v'charkom. Mishkol Shishi also Shishi also mona. Each had a weight of 16 mona. Hakosh is actually a question. How to pronounce Kosh? Is Kosh with a Shin or is it Kosh with a sin, kilufa shloisha, there was some sort of a bark, they had 3 mana, bikinoman, and cinnamon, they had 9 mana. Boris kroshoina, tisha kabin, yayin kafrisin, sin tlosin, kabin tlosa, kafrisin wine, they had 3 son, 3 kabin. Im elo yayin kafrisin, if he didn't have kafrisin and wine available, maybe chavar, chavarian attic, he should bring old white wine. Melech sedoimus roiva, they should bring a roiva melech sedoimus. There's a machloikis, what is the purpose of the melech sedoimus? Some say that the melech sedoimus is there because it is one of the ingredients of the Torahs. Others say that the melech sedoimus is, the halacha is a kol kabon chotak of melech, including in the melech, including the Torahs. Chisa achs mikos menel, if somebody is missing one of these spices, chayiv misa. So there's a very famous Beis Yosef that says that he quotes the Maria Avuav, that the Maria Avuav says that person, when he says Ketoros every day by his tefillah, he should be very careful not to be missing one of the words of the Ketoros, because our Gemara says and chisa achas mikos samanel chayiv misa. But the Mefarshim, and the Rizal, in fact, says that even though the Rizal is that man, is that shita who's so serious about saying the Ketoros, at the same point, the Rizal says that one should be very careful. He says he should count with his fingers when he says the Ketoros to make sure they're saying all 11. I saw interesting minig, it should only count with your right finger with the right hand, because we know that Avodah was only allowed to be done with the right hand. But the Beis Yosef himself quotes Rashi in our, and actually this is the basis for what the Ramah says, that the minig of Nusach Ashkenaz is only to say Ketoris on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because during the week people are in a rush, and how our Gemara is teaching us that if somebody is in a rush, somebody Chis Achs Mekos Manah Chas V'Sholem Chayiv Misa. However, I did see that the Beis Yosef himself questions the Marie of Wav, because the Beis Yosef quotes Rashi in our Sugya, and Rashi in our Sugya says Chis Achs Mekos Manah Chayiv Misa means on Yom Kippur, that in Yom Kippur we know the Kohen Gadol went into Kodesh Kedoshim, and one is only allowed to enter the Kodesh Kedoshim on Yom Kippur with the Ketoris. But if the Ketoris isn't being brought properly, then Rachman Tzlan Chayiv Misa. There are Rishonim that disagree with Rashi, and they say when the Gemara says here from Chisa Achas Mekosam Anel Chayiv Misa, it means because the Ketoris hasn't been prepared properly, or because of that, if the Avodah of the Ketoris is not done properly, then he's Chayiv Misa for having done the Avodah, the Avodah improperly. The Rishonim actually also debate. Here our Gemara speaks about Imchisa Achas Mikos Menel. And what about if somebody added to the Samonim? So the Mepharshim say, there's Machlokes Rishonim, what will be the Halacha then? The continues Gemara. Rishimon Omer, Hatzari En El Sraf, Hanoitav Me'atzei Ketav. The Tzari is a sap that comes out from the balsam trees. Baruch Kishoina, Sheshachim Bas Tzipurim. The purpose of the Baruch Kishoina was there to scrub the Tzipurim, Kadei Shina, in order that it should be pleasant. Yank of Friesen, Sheshachim Bas Tzipurim, Kadei should be as it should be strong. Continues the Gemara below, May Reglaim Yofala. Wouldn't May Reglaim do a better job? Ashe Machlis, May Reglaim Magnidush, May Reglaim should not be brought into the Migdosh of Nei HaKovid. There's a Machlaikis. What is the definition of Mei Reglaim? Some say Mei Reglaim means actual urine, and therefore we understand the Gemara very well, that urine shouldn't be brought. Others say that that it doesn't mean urine, it means something that comes from a place, a type of a liquid that comes from a place that's called Mei Reglaim, and just because it has such a negative name, that already is a reason why it shouldn't be brought. Continues the Gemara, Masala of Yeshua Hanina, Kodesh Hi Tia Lechem, Ko Masel Liyel the Kodesh. All of the preparation of the Ketoris was done in the Kodesh, and therefore, since it was done in the Kodesh, it's inappropriate that they should bring Mei Reglaim there. Of course, the Mepharshim asks, so how did Betzalel prepare the Ketoris if there was no Kodesh before? So some explain that it was a special Xeris HaKosef. Another pshat is that indeed the Ketoris, when the Mishkan was erected, was not put up until the last minute. Nesvei asked the Gemara on this, that we said that the Mas says only the Kodesh. The Mishnah discusses HaMagdish Nechosef. If somebody is Magdish different items that he owns, and he has amongst the things that could be used for Kabbalah Tzibur, so the halacha is yidnatnu umne b'scharim. The Mishnah says they should be given to the people that work in the Beis Hamikdash as their wages. Ask the Gemara, hani dvarim haruim ma'ninu. What does the Mishnah mean with this? Ibehem v'chaya. If it's talking about somebody who is magdish behem v'chaya, actually not a chaya, because a chaya can never be used for carbon. Tanalei. We learned the Mishnah together that it should either be used for, it should be sold for somebody who needs to bring a carbon. Iyaynus v'shmar mismaltus, also tanalei, they should be sold to somebody who needs to bring a carbon mincha. El laf ketoris, isn't speaking about a ketoris. And here it seems that the ketoris was prepared outside the Beis HaMikdash, and it still may be used. Answers the Gemara, we're referring to the following situation. Amr v'oshia, v'oysa ani tenis lom nebeskarim. They're referring here to the ketoris, the leftover ketoris, which was given to the workers for their wages. The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. As we'll discuss soon, they had leftover ketores. What did they do with it? They would take money, and the amount of money they needed for paying the workers, and they would take that money, and then they would designate it for payment, for wages for those workers, and then they would take the ketores and be paid the money by the ketores with that money, and then they would give that ketores, which now is no longer kodesh, because it was they repaid it, and they would give it to the workers. Because the halacha is every year there's a new truma. Rosh Chodesh Nissan, they had to start using the new truma. They can no longer use the old money, and if they had ketores left over from one year to the next, they couldn't use last year's ketores. And this is the way that they could get last year's ketores bought with this year's money and be able to use it. Maskala Rav Yosef, Havakula Mais Reis, when it speaks to all the other leftover items, Tana Chayzim Leitan Aysim Atruma Chadasha, Hacha Leitani, if the Mishnah is referring to this situation, why didn't the Mishnah say that that's what should be done? Elam Rav Yosef, Bechem Simon HaKetayrus. The Mishnah there is not talking about the Ketayrus. The Ketayrus itself can only be prepared in the Kodesh. Here it's speaking about one of the ingredients used for the Ketayrus. One of the ingredients did not have to be prepared in the Kodesh. So the Gemara speaks about how much Ketayrus was prepared. Tanur Abonim, Ketayrus are Yunasa Shloish Meis, Vashish Shemayin Amana. There were 368 Ketayrus, batches of Ketayrus made. Shloish Meis, Vashish, Vachamish, Kamenegi, Yemais Chama. 365 for a solar year. And even though, as the Mepharshim explained, we follow a lunar year, and there are only 354 days, but we have more often leap years, and those years they needed more ketores. Shloish money is same, so that takes care of 365. But we just said they made 368. The three extra portions, Shemahem Matnes Kohen Gadol Melaychafim B'Yom Kippurim. We know that Kohen Gadol had to go in Yom Kippur with the ketores. The Shah Nitten Lumen B'Scharim. The rest were given to the Umnen, as we just learned, for their wages. Ketnan, as we just quoted the Mishnah, Maisa Ketores Maya Oysenba, Mafrishin, they would take money, the amount that they owed the umnim, and this was all done in this procedure, not to seem as if they're taking hegdish and using it for regular purposes. And then they would buy it back from the truma chadasha. Tanabonim, ma'aseh ketores. So all this ketores that they had every year, three extra portions, accumulated over the years, and therefore once after 60 or 70 years, depending on the size of the hand of the Kohen Gadol, how much ketores he used in a year, they didn't make a whole portion of 368 batches, they made 184 batches. Since we see that they don't always have to make a full batch, if a yachid only made even less than the full amount, it's still considered as if he made ketores that he's not allowed to, and he's chayiv. Dibur shemim mil shama mishum ben azgan. Avos shlish a revi that he should make a quarter or a third of the entire amount lo shmati. V'chol v'chamayim, yes. V'chol yoyim esakim miskonta v'yimaknes. They can make every day ketores for that day. And Rishonim say, not only if you made the amount that you need for that day, even if you made a kezayis, as soon as you make a kezayis, you're chayiv. If the ketores wasn't made in the exact same amount as was made in the Beis Hamikdash, shechayiv. The ksiva ketores shetasa, kol shetasa, in any form that you make it, yechayiv. V'ashadav the pras b'shacharis or pras b'nabayim, because you can make every day for that day's ketores need. Tana rabbanim, ha'imatzinos l'machdesh p'mayim v'shonah. They would put it back into the grinder twice a year. When they did it in the summertime, they did a psura, they spread it out like this apish, it should become spoiled. In the winter, they would do it tzvura, they would pile it up, that the fragrance shouldn't dissipate. And when they ground it again, on the hodav headache, hateth hodach. Dibre abra ben yoichen. As we'll soon see, because the voice, the sound was very good. The Shalosh Manim Yisrael, they had three extra Mana. Shemem Machmas going to go Machmas Maloy Chosma Yom Kippurim. He would take that amount in on Yom Kippur. Noisos Lema Pes for Erev Yom Kippurim. They would be careful to put it into the grind of Erev Yom Kippur. B'shoch Kan Yofa Yofa. That it should be ground well. Kadesh Shtei Dak Menadaka. That it should be extremely ground well. The Torah used on Yom Kippur. Interesting verse from the Eglei Tal. He says they specially ground it on Erev Yom Kippur. They could not grind it on Yom Kippur. Why could they not grind it on Yom Kippur? Says the Eglei Tal, because even though it was already ground once, grinding it a second time still would be usur. So says the Eglei Tal, from here, the Chiddush the Eglei Tal, we see that Bishul Acha Bishul is usur. Because just like Tchina Acha Tchina is usur, so too Bishul Acha Bishul is usur. Farshim discuss, the Achroyim discuss what is the comparison. Ketanya, what does the Torah have to say regarding the Torah of Yom Kippur that it was Daka? It should be well ground. Stay Daka and a Daka. But as the Brisker Rav explains, there is no specific shear. The Torah says it should be ground well, there is no specific shear how much. Omar, she shark it when it's ground. Omar, he says, Hodik, Hatev, Hatev, Hodik. The Sailor of Yochran, of Yochran. The Gemara Masechet Menachos teaches us that when they looked for the wine in the Beis Hamikdash, they purposely didn't talk. They just pointed to the wine. Because wine is, the sound is not good for wine, and it is great for the Torah. And there's a famous Vart. That's why when we make Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos, we bring both wine and psalmim. Wine, we're learning now, talking is not good for it. Psalmim, we're learning now, talking is good for it. And the person is supposed to know how to balance, not to speak more than he's supposed to speak, or not to speak less than he's supposed to speak. And Havdalah is the time when we show that, because Havdalah represents Das. Havdalah represents intelligence. We say Havdalah about the Chanantan. About the Chaynel Adam Das. On Rabbi Yochanan. Achras Samanim Nemel Moshe B'Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu was told about 11 spices to be used in the Torahs. Amar Afuna, Mikra, how do we see this from the Pasuk? Says, because the Pasuk says, Kachu Chasamim, so Samim is Trey. Then the Pasuk says three of the Samanim, not the Shechels, the Chabonah, or Chamisha. The Samim, Achrin, and then the Torah again uses the word Samim, Chamisha, means another five. The Levon Azaka, and then the Torah adds Levon Azaka, Chad, is Hasara, so we have 10. Levon Azaka, Chad is 11. Hachat, sorry. Deim is Sam and Klau. Ask them, I made a way to learn the Pasuk as follows. Sam is a Klau. Not of Shechels v'Chalbona is a Prat. Sam v'Chaz v'Klau. And we'll learn Klau, Prat, and Klau. That we know yet to don El Eken a Prat. Ma, Prat, and first. What is the common denominator? Dov, Shekoiter. Something that gives off smoke. V'Oila, in a column. Reich and Noidiv, and the aroma spreads. Af Kadav Shkoitav Oil of Reich and Noidiv is kosher for the Torahs, but it's not here to teach us the number. The Chitema, if you'll say that that's the case, that all the Torah is trying to accomplish is a Klal of Prat to Klal, so then ask the Gemara, Licht of Kroch Chad Prata, then the Torah should have only said one. What did the Torah have to say? More than one, says the Gemara, no, because eat lai mitzvah tzrichi, all of the different ones that were mentioned had to be mentioned. The cost of notif, if the Torah would have only said notif, have been a min ilanin, only something that grows from a tree, avu gedule karka, something that grows from the ground low. The cost of shcheles, if it only said shcheles, have been a gedule karka, only something that grows from the ground, avu min ilan, something that grows from a tree, emaloi. That's why the Torah had to say notif. The chabana l'gufa elser, and the reason the Torah said chabana is because even though, as we'll learn, it has a poor fragrance, it still is used. Answered the Gemara, im kain, if that's the pshat, mitachlucha nafka. We could have learned it to just say kachlucha, and then mention the spices. The fact that the Torah added the word samim is to teach us this rule that the number. Veima, says the Gemara, the first salmon we said meant two.
Ben Sam Basroi Trainanu, just like the first Samim we explained meant two, so too the second Samim should also mean two, Samim Kadmoi. Im Kane, if that was what the Torah meant, says the Gemara, Nichtu Samim Sam Ba'adi Adadi, the Torah should have written the word Samim next to each other. And then only Nichta Notav Shechez Chalbona. The fact that the Torah wrote the second word Samin only after Notav Shechez Chalbona were mentioned is a proof that the Samin should be understood to mean five. Says the Gemara. The Beir of Shmuel Tani, Samin Klal, Notav Shechez Chalbona Prat, Samin Chosv Klal, Klal Prat the Klal, Yatadon Elkena Prat. Ma Prat the first Dovah Shekoitav Oil of Reich and Noidav, only such materials may be used for the Ketores. Said the Gemara. Continued the Braisa. Ena el of b'klal rishon, or prat b'prat rishon, amrit la. Hare lech lodem b'loshen achan ab b'loshen rishon. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly what it just meant. Amar mar. So the Gemara repeats the words and explains them. Oy ena el klal b'klal rishon, or prat b'prat rishon. Amr lav, hal ena lech lodem. Says the my kasha. What was the Braisa asking and answering? Says the Mahokhik kasha. Like this was the question. Maybe the way to understand the sam basroi, when the Torah used the word samim the second time, it should be understood ki samim kamoi, the same way it was explained the first time, and it would only mean tree, and it only means that two. And if that would be the case, we wouldn't come up with the number 11. Hadishani kadeshninim, and then the Braisa answers as it answered. Dinkei nichtav kras samim. Samim, the Torah should have written the word Samim next to each other, and only afterwards, not of Shechelus v'chalbona. Or my prat the prat rishon. What did the Braisa mean with those words? Hachikon shlei. This was the Braisa's question. Minei learners that you could use something that grows from a tree, yalaf and notif. We learn from the word notif. V'dule karka, that something that grows from the ground can be used, we learn from Shechelus. Nami levana zaka, that fila b'chatzat. Maybe when the Torah used the word Levana Zaka, we should use that whereas the other spices give off smoke in a rising column and the smell spreads, the Levana only has the characteristic that the aroma spreads, but not that the smoke goes up. Answer the Gemara Hada Amar, Imkei Lichtra Lichtav Levana Zaka and Mitzi. The Torah should have mentioned Levana Zaka between these two cases, the Telef Minah, and then we would be able to learn it. However, the fact that the Torah mentions Levana Zaka only after the second Klal, rather than with mentioning together with the Pratim, it's come to teach us that it's not here to teach us what kind of spice, it's not here as an indication of what kind of spice should be used. Ask the Gemara, that couldn't be. You know why the Torah didn't put Levana Zaka in the middle? It's because if we would have Levana Zaka in the middle, and then we have Samim, that we learned Samim, the second Samim, represents a combination of all the types that we had till now, we would have 12, and we're only supposed to have 11. Answers the Gemara, Imke Nichtav Kro Levana Zaka Mimitzi, V'Chalbona B'Psoi. The fact that the Torah spoke about Chalbona as one of the Pratim, and Levana Zaka afterwards, and not the other way around. Rishlokishama Megufa. We don't need any other layman. Ma loshim k'tayrus, what does k'tayrus mean? Davish k'tayrus v'oyla, that is the definition of k'tayrus, and therefore only k'tayrus that has, only spices that have these characteristics may be used. Omer chan v'abizdam rav shirin chesida. K'tanish ein v'pashi Yisrael, any tainus that we don't include, even people who sin, ain't a tainus. Shechavona reich ra, omana kosev, and samana k'tayrus, it's mentioned together with the rest. Ba'am mahocha, that goose does al arti yazda, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us all joined together. Hasak v'shem ha-mishcha, we learned in the Mishnah, if somebody smears himself with the shem ha-mishcha, his chai is cursed. Tan rabbanan, hasak v'shem ha-mishcha, l'behem v'keilim, potter. L'ad g'chavim u'lemesim, potter. Bishlo v'behem v'keilim, says the Gemara Apostle, Adam lo yisam. And behem v'keilim are not Adam. Behem v'keilim lav Adam inu. Mesim nami potter, t'ksiv, t'kivim the mes le-mes. Once the person passed away, Meis Mikri, he's dead. Vilav Adam, he's no longer an Adam. Elav the Kachavim, and my potter, Adam Ninhu, aren't the Kachavim included in the category of Adam? Says the Gemara, La'ai. The Ksiva Atem Tsoini Tsoin Marisi Odom Atem, Atem Kruim Odom, only the Jewish people, Ben Ardukachom Kruim Odom. Ask the Gemara Ksiv, but it says by Midyon, when we took from the Midyon of the Nefesh Odom Shish Osa Elef, and they're speaking about the Midyonim, Alamlai Ahula Fuku Behema. It only means that they took people and not the number of animals. The Ksiva Noi Loi Ochus Al Ninveh Hir Agdoi La Shiesh Bahabim Shtem Elfa Riba Odom. And Nineveh was a city of Akum. Again, says the Gemara, Hula Feika Behema. Divai Sema, how do we know for anointing an Akum there's no Chiyiv? Kiritani Tana Kamedra Velozer, Koshi Yesh the Besach. Anyone who's over the Aveira, if he smears himself or smears someone else with the Shemana Mishko, Yesh the Baal Yisach, there's an Issa if you smear him, Koshi Ein Besach, but somebody who isn't over the Aveira, the Torah wasn't said to Akum, Ein of Bar Yisach is an Oyvan Aver if he is shmir. There's much to say, but one quick word to end the shir. Akum Kriyam Adam v'loy Akum Kriyam Adam. So Mefarshim explained that there are many different ways in the Hebrew language to describe a person. And in all those different words that are used to describe a person, there's a Lashon Yachid and there's a Lashon Rabin. There's a way to describe it in a singular and a plural. The word Adam, however, cannot be mentioned. There is no plural for Adam. Atem Kriyam Adam. All of Klal Yisrael are viewed as one. Klal Yisrael are Reivim Zeh L'Zeh, then Atem Kriyam Adam. That doesn't happen to any other of the nations of the world.